Diane, do you want to go ahead and start us off? And I know you want to share some about the backpack
I
ministry as
do.
well.
And interestingly, on my Facebook feed today, a Proverbs verse came up. So I wanted to start with that. Proverbs 21:13 says, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. And there's plenty of places to tell us we need, it is our responsibility to help out and take care of the needs of the poor. And it was during one of our blood drives that a man came in just to warm himself into our church. And that is what kicked off the backpack ministry, knowing that we did not, I mean, Pastor Jeremy had some things for him and counseled him, but I wanted to see something else concrete to hand him. And so we put together the backpack ministry. Thanks to all of you for your donations and your support, both sewing masks and some money donations and some donations. It has been a very successful. We've only been going since the middle of December, and we passed out 121 bags so far. I sent out 12 just today through our homeless advocate, John, that he goes out and greets them and feeds them. And he expresses to me the joy that they, as they go through the bags, and that they share the stuff in the bags with each other to take care of each other, even as we are trying to bless them, they are trying to bless others. And in addition to that, as I have learned, Oscar and Rob have volunteered at the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center for years, as far as I know, and they told me about this place. And so I checked into it, and one time a week for the last 4 weeks, we've been able to collect some items and go down and donate them. And just today, on my doorstep is some toilet paper and some brushes and combs and ACE bandages and a sleeping bag. So I'll be taking that next week when I do my donation. So if anybody has any items sitting around that they would like to get in on that donation, I will just plan on taking every week whatever we've got and donating it to the Corvallis Drop-In Center. Allison Hobgood is the executive director, and I've got a bio to read. She is an impressive person. I don't think I'm easily impressed to this degree, but I'm impressed with her. So let me tell you about her. Allison Hobgood was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She then moved to North Carolina to do her undergraduate work at a small liberal arts college called Davidson College, where she was also a collegiate swimmer. She earned her bachelor's degree in English and then turned that into a master's degree in teaching from Emory University. She taught high school in urban Atlanta for a couple of years. Then she returned to Emory to get her PhD in English literature and disability studies. Allison obviously then moved to Oregon. She began working at Willamette University as a professor for 12 years, doing disability justice work in higher education and teaching Shakespeare. Last year, she decided to pivot into something more grassroots and public facing and took the position of the executive director at the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center. We're going to call that the CDDC, Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center, because that's a mouthful. Works at the intersections of disability and homelessness justice. She has two children and a partner. They all love to travel, eat, hang out, and be goofy. Allison is also working with many community stakeholders to build a new nonprofit in the Mid-Willamette Valley called the Disability Equity Center. But that's a story for another meeting. Welcome, Allison. We want to thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Diane. I appreciate that. That was such fanfare.
Well, I'm pretty impressed with you. And I've talked to Allison on the phone. I've emailed with her, but this is the first time I've actually gotten to see her face to face. But Oscar and Rob have sure sung praises of the drop-in center. So I am just I feel like they gave that little opening that we knew about you and were able to come alongside you. I've got some questions now for you for our interview, and you answer them as long or short as you would like. What is the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center, and how did it come to be?
Sure. And before I do that, I just wanted to say hi to everyone. Thank you for spending, you know, 10 or 15 minutes with me on your Wednesday, I think it is, night. And thanks to Jeremy and to Peace and to Diane and all the work with the Backpack Ministry, and for opening that door on that small sliver into something that's really, I think, even more robust and beautiful. And I'm just excited to be here. So thanks again. So the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center is a day community and resource center for people who are experiencing chronic poverty, often chronic homelessness. And a lot of our folks also are folks who identify as people with disabilities. More about this in a couple of other, I got a sneak peek at the questions and I won't go on too terribly long. So in case you have questions for me too, I can answer those after this. But the genesis of the drop-in center, about probably 13 or 14 years ago now, some folks started a small organization with a similar mission called the Circle of Hope, but it was specifically a day resource center for people who were experiencing psychiatric disabilities. And it was a low barrier, harm reduction, come as you are space where people could be together and be safe and have their community needs met. That, I think, pretty logically evolved into a center now called the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center that is serving people who are also experiencing extreme poverty and chronic homelessness. There's a lot of overlap actually in those two populations. And so that genesis, that transformation was really kind of organic.
That lady that's talking today.
All right. Second question, and it kind of overlaps. So if there is a specific mission statement that you can share with us and what all that you're trying to accomplish through that.
Sure. So our official mission statement is that the drop-in center is a place where needs are met. And really what that means to me and to the folks who, the amazing volunteers who spend their time there, and the few staff, wonderful staff members that we have, it means that it's a place where you can come, be your whole self. Unless you are an immediate harm to yourself or others, you are absolutely welcome in this space. So inclusion is at the bottom line of what we do. Folks can come in between 9 and 12. They are welcomed with hospitality. We love coffee, lots of coffee. And folks can eat some food, which decreases their food insecurity. Basic needs, things like the Backpack Ministry is helping to provide. So hygiene supplies, you name it, a toothbrush, a belt. So there are the kind of like, what are the immediate needs that you might encounter if you are a person who is unsheltered? But importantly also, the drop-in center is a place of hospitality, and it's a place of hospitality for people who often don't experience hospitality anywhere else. People who are chronically homeless and also who have co-occurring mental health disorders are on the edges and the margins of our communities. And so we like to imagine that part of what we're doing is offering a space where people can really be seen and heard when so often they're not, their humanity really isn't even acknowledged in sort of a day-to-day way. We also believe in a harm reduction ethos. So we're not trying to fix people. We're not necessarily mandating things like sobriety. We're not telling them to pull up their boots and go get a job. We're meeting them where they are. And people are in really different stages in their life journeys, especially when they're experiencing extreme poverty and homelessness. So where needs are met is our goal. We also have a series of wonderful partnerships with other community service providers and organizations to provide things like amped up services. So wraparound case management, counseling, connections to Samaritan Health and community outreach nurses. So people are also getting a little bit more, of connections to a broader support network as well as having their basic needs.
All right. How many people do you typically serve in a day or for a year?
You'll have to do the year math, Diane, but I should have whipped out my calculator for that one. But we serve and historically have between 80 and 120 people a day, unduplicated visitors. So we see a lot of foot traffic. We serve more people than that insofar as they'll come back for another snack sack and meal. Like I said, lots of cups of coffee. But right now, and even in the pandemic, we're at about typically 80 different individuals, some time hanging out. And then also we'll, you know, get whatever support they might need on that particular day.
Wonderful. My math is not very good.
Yeah, just do that time 365, right? A lot of people is the answer.
A lot of people, yes. How has the pandemic affected your operation?
Great question. I feel really, proud, I guess, if that's the right word, of how we've managed to keep our operations going. What we did was we closed the building to anyone except for our volunteers, and we created kind of like a walk-up window, the way you would go through a drive-through. And so folks come into the space. Masks are required. We provide masks and have been providing PPE for people through the entire pandemic, which is great too, because if you want to ride the bus or go into the Dairy Mart or do anything else, you need a mask, and you can get one at the drop-in. You're required to wash your hands at a hand washing station, where you're also greeted by one of our wonderful volunteers. And then you can come up to the window and get what you need. It's not ideal. We've been able to continue to serve people. When people come to meet with for one-on-ones with service providers, they are allowed into the building. We take their temperature, you know, they come in, and we try and do a lot of social distancing and make sure that we've been sort of in accordance with Governor Brown's mandates for people inside the building. The crimp in our style, though, is that the drop-in center is a community day hub. And it's about decreasing social isolation, bringing people together, having people to be in community with one another. And that is still happening outside around the drop-in center, you know, with masks on and at six feet social distancing. But we're looking forward to, you know, hopefully come summer or so, we'll just feel it out when we can start to bring people also back into the building so that they can really just feel like they're, you know, in community together inside in a really warm space.
Great. I have seen that in action as I've dropped off some of the donations, and they are all lined up on the side of the building and seem like they understand the program very well and adapting very well.
People have been great, Diane. I mean, one of the other things that we've really tried to do is a lot of COVID-19 education and outreach, and now also vaccine education. And so we have had a lot of people who have really, I think, come to understand, especially in the face of a lack of access to news. You know, we take maybe for granted that we can turn on our television or look at our phone. And so we've really tried to keep people abreast of what's happening, and people have been great about, COVID protocols, which has been terrific.
What a wonderful service. I have never thought of the news, but of course, that makes sense. Okay, my next question. There was a recent article in the Corvallis Gazette Times that outlined the efforts by local government and the HOPE, H-O-P-E, Committee on Homeless. Is there anything you would like to add or address regarding this article? And I'm hoping that most of you saw the article about a week ago.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think really interesting things are afoot. I think Benton County, I think, Lynn and Lincoln, the need to directly and more effectively address homelessness is on everybody's mind. And the HOPE Board has been tasked with the responsibility for offering the city and to some extent the county some recommendations about what our sort of public responsibility might be, and what the material, spaces and places we might take advantage of to really start to kind of address this. HOPE is an advisory board. And so, you know, it It's not bringing legal mandate of any kind, but they've done a lot of research into kind of best support practices for homelessness. They've debated, you know, would we create a kind of campus or community village somewhere in Corvallis where people could come and live in different kind of sheltering opportunities. They've been instrumental, I think, in also supporting a lot of the micro shelters that maybe even around Philomath you all are seeing too. Churches are taking these small tiny houses and making small communities for people to get shelter. So I think Hope is doing some really interesting work. They're kind of poised as a larger community to make some really positive and interesting decisions about supporting folks who are our community members, but happen to be experiencing really extreme chronic poverty.
Yes. It was an eye-opener for me, and how slow the process can be sometimes when you have bureaucratic organizations trying to work together and communicate together. And my hats off to all of you that are trying to work on that. That's very
and that cool. That's the nice thing about Hope, Diane, is that they brought, you know, a lot of diverse stakeholders together to really try and open those lines of communication and to do so more transparently.
Good. All right. What are the biggest needs of the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center, just generally speaking?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we love all of our sort of basic needs goodies and the incredible things that are coming, you know, through the backpack ministry. We, and in fact, I shared, I think, with Diane, a needs list. I gave that to you, right, Dan? We had exchanged about that. So that's a great way to keep abreast. You know, you can contact me directly. You can talk to Diane because things change depending on the season or the month or, you know, is it raining? Is it not raining? Is it hot outside? And so there's a little bit of kind of flux in need, though there's some things that are pretty classic and staples, you know, whether that's things like men's pants size 32 to 44, you know, women's hygiene products, things that we kind of take for granted around our bathroom and in our closets, and boots and shoes and those sorts of things. We're not shy, and my ED hat here, we're not shy about donations. We love money too. So I'll offer a plug. There are different ways to give. We have various projects on our website if you're inclined to kind of go that route in terms of funding. And this, I think, maybe ties to your next question, Diane. But, you know, one of the other needs I think that we have is we're just really working on amplifying knowledge of our presence in the community. So spreading the word would be fabulous. I mean, this moment right here is terrific. Go tell one friend. And, you know, it means that we just create a much broader web of partnerships, which creates more supports for the people that we serve.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we all tend to clean out our closets and maybe take it down to Goodwill. And this gives us a better option to go directly, perhaps, to some people that really desperately could use the items. So
absolutely, Diane. And just to put a fine point on that, the other thing that we do, we have a close partnership with, for example, Vina Moses, and even some of the providers who are from Philomath who are in on our calls, and down in Monroe. So places that are a little bit, you know, not Corvallis specific. But we can, the things we don't use, we can also make sure they get to places where people can use them.
Yes, I did in the newsletter mention to try to stick with the list that you gave us because we didn't want to make extra work for you having to take them.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the clearinghouse model is a little tricky, but I'd also rather see stuff come in and then have us be able to facilitate it getting somewhere else.
Yeah, if it's on the list, we'll take it down. So that's
awesome.
Good. Well, I sure appreciate your work and your wisdom and your time here today. Is there anything else that you would like to address or communicate?
Maybe just a couple of things related to the last question. We also have a great website. So eventually I'm working that there will probably be a needs list on there that sort of keeps us up to speed as we can, at least quarterly. So you can consult that. Another shout out to the website. And this is one of the cool things about the drop-in center is that we have many volunteers who are kind of giving back to the drop-in center who themselves have come through a journey of homelessness and use the drop-in center as a resource sort of in their own lives. And now, are working there. And one of our amazing volunteers, Rick Klinowski, there's a series of podcasts about the drop-in center that are on our website. And if you're at all interested in homelessness justice or kind of local information about the drop-in, people who are there, their experiences, I would just encourage you to check out those podcasts that are on there. And it'll give you a sense of both what we do and the wonderful humans who are continuing to support us. And then I guess the other two things that I was thinking about are, this is me maybe wearing my older teacherly hat, but I think that it's often on us to do some self-educating too about things that we don't know about. And so I would just encourage you to take a minute now and again to read an article about, homelessness, check out what's happening in the GT around that conversation. And the more that you educate yourselves, then also the more you'll be able to talk with others and help them understand the kinds of potential biases that they might have. If we can work together to change bias and start to reduce stigma for people who often for really no fault of their own, but because of generational trauma and poverty are experiencing homelessness, I think that we can make a big dent in this together. So I appreciate your solidarity in those efforts.
Thank you so much. I'm going to pass it off to Jeremy, Pastor Lucky. Thank you.
Thanks, Allison. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
That sounds fabulous. Thanks so much for giving me a minute to talk with you. And feel free also to pass my email or anything along to folks who have other questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you.
Real quick, the website, your website again, can you give me that?
Yes, let me bring it up. Hold on. I should know it off the top of my head, but I'm like, I just always Google it.
Yeah, I just did the drop-in center and it came up and your website came up. So if you just...
Yeah, it's CorvallisBBC.org.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, thank you for that. Corvallis, it should be pretty...
CorvallisBBC.org.
Yeah, and I can also just pop that... Here, let me just do this before... Can I add something to the chat here? Do y'all be chatting? I'll do this.
Go ahead and chat. Put it in the chat box and I'll.
And you can pass that on. Yep. And here's my direct link on Gmail if anybody wants to find me. So I'll get out of your hair, but I'm really honored to be here and thanks for your time.
You're definitely not in my hair.
No one's in your hair, Jeremy.
Tell Alicia I said hi.
I'll do that.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.